Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy starts in less than 10 seconds.
Well, are we ready to go?
Yes!
Make sure you don't miss a thing by downloading the Triple M app.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Ow! I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
Something a bit of risque. A bit of flesh, Jim.
Put moron number two on the phone.
What goes on inside your round bald head is frightening.
What the hell is wrong with you two?
I feel good.
And we're in the middle of a cracking week. Have a look outside.
Jim, it's 21 degrees.
Oh, perfection in the best city in the world. Big show coming up. Midwife Kath in.
Yes.
And we've got lots to talk to Midwife Kath about, including Bill.
She's on crutches.
Oh, hello. Find out about what that's...
Must add a little tipple.
Well, and also, Bill, we spoke the other day about if your kids go AWOL on a plane.
Oh, yes.
Like, completely go nuts.
That's right.
What the hell do you do about it?
What's wrong with your eye?
And I told
I've just looked at you.
I told you today when we were doing the golf that my eye's buggered.
Oh, one eye.
Yeah, on a stink, pink eye.
A pink eye, pink it eye. Is.
No, I think someone's poked it, but I don't know who.
Wow.
Anyway, I've got to go to the doctor to get that fixed. But I'm still here, by the way.
I've seen you for there an Fair. Hour. First time I've looked at you.
What do you reckon? We did the shooting of the tailor-made thing, which we're getting to today as well.
Oh, yeah, big ball.
But anyway, what do you reckon I said to him when I first got there?
Yeah. Look at my eye.
My eye's buggered.
Yeah.
I said, I've got to go to a doctor later on. So he goes, have a look at your eye. Jeez, you're an idiot.
Oh,
anyway, his wife, Kath, we're going to speak to there.
Yeah.
And then a little bit of topics, Brayshaw, which I like because this one tickles my fancy.
Yeah.
And then midweek, Rub, Nath Brown and Damien Barrett. An amazing midweek, Rub. We're going to get to why that is a little later on. And then we take you down the path of who won Bill's massive ball, which, of course, is a trip for two to New Zealand, which was unbelievable. We did it at the TaylorMade Simulator earlier on today. Hello to you, fat boy.
G'day, Jimmy boy. Oh, pink eye. G'day to listeners and g'day to you, Rabs.
Well, coming up after the break, we'll catch up with Demon Coach.
Oh, whispers. Come on, Wispy.
He was sitting next to him and forgot his name.
Right next to him and couldn't remember who it was.
Dean Bailey?
No, it was Greg Hutchison.
Greg Hutchison, sorry, yeah.
Now, what's going on, please, Fat?
Oh, plenty going on, Jim, and straight into the NBA playoffs. And no spoiler alert, just close your ears. The Raptors have won 120 to the Bucks, 102 in the Eastern Conference.
That's a nice pumping.
So that's 2-all now. Tied up, Jim, 2-all, of course. Golden State have gone through. They just sit there and wait. How's KD, by the way? Is he going to play?
Oh, he'll probably take part in it, yeah.
Thank you.
Well, you'd ask me a question, I'll give you an answer. Well,
it's a terrible answer.
yes.
Ian Botham, Jim, has come
on.
Out today and said David Warner won't be able to handle the Barmy Army sledges.
Oh, come on, beef.
The Barmy Army have already done about 8 or 9 songs, Jim.
Oh, give us a spell.
8 or 9 songs.
As if you're going to let those bananas get the better of you.
And Warner's going to feature in a fair bit of those songs and he won't be able to cope. That's what DeBeefy says.
Come on, beef.
You know, we talked to Phil Tuff. Tomorrow, so we're
looking forward to that. Tuffers,
yeah, yes.
Quality, high quality.
That eye's red. Dale Thomas fined $7,500 calling an umpire beeping cheat.
Yes.
There's other ways you could probably done that without the money, I would have thought.
Danger saying that, so as soon as Danger speaks,
well,
you listen.
Well, he rang me for some advice.
Right, yeah.
The Blues were also sent a please explain letter, Jim. After their cheer squad chanted, umpire, you're a banker. So they got that cheer going too, yes. Was a banker, it rhymes with it.
No, I know that, Bill.
Halfback flanker?
Yeah, no.
No, we know what it is, Bill.
I'm just trying to think something else that rhymes with wanker.
You are half-witted. Half-witted.
Tom Brown, who is going very well, by the way.
Yeah.
Is him or Damo?
Our man, Damo.
Look at Damo's falling off his bike.
Our man, Damo, come on.
If he rode a bike.
But Tommy's going well.
He reported this morning that Mason Cox won't play again.
What, for the whole year?
No, again.
This week?
Again, yeah. This week.
Not with the ankle syndesmosis.
That's it, he's got that. Yes. And I reckon Tom went with that first. Tom Langdon, who was very sore last week, he's out this week. And Darcy Moore won't play this week.
Now.
Jeez.
Have I heard it right that this Sunday... The handball's coming back.
No.
Have I heard that?
No, no, no. I don't know where you heard that.
Well, Bill, Jim, I want to talk. If it does come back at any stage,
no,
on your show,
Jim, well,
Bill,
still
listen
doing
to me.
Stuff here.
I want to talk to you about the fact that I want vision replayed of me beating Adam Simpson.
Righto, I'm moving
Did
on.
Did you
here,
hear what I said?
I just heard you.
Well, make Nicole. Sure you go to who runs it these days.
Mitch.
Mitch.
Oh, TJ and Mitch.
Well, as you say to the Chompers, if we're bringing this back at any stage this year, I want vision of Jim beating Adam Simpson.
I've still got some more news.
Oh, come on.
Ben McAvoy out for 6 weeks. They're going to miss him, the Hawks. He's got the syndesmosis.
Has he also got syndesmosis?
Yeah, everyone's got it, Jim.
Come on.
A big Ivan Soldo. He's out for 1 week.
Ivan.
Oh, he likes Ivan.
Yeah.
And I haven't got much else. Oh, the Carlton players had a players-only meeting, Jim.
Hello.
No coaches.
Hello.
So we'll ask Nate
Honesty.
Brown.
Mm. Honesty. Bill, this Sunday.
Yeah. No, not this Sunday, Jim. Not this Sunday.
Who got midwife Kath coming in next? And
mid-week.
As I say, we're going to find out what happens when your kids spack it on a plane. Oh, midwife Kath comes in. We have her regularly and love every time she wanders into the studio. Welcome to you, Kath.
Welcome back, guys. Well, I mean, welcome. Oh,
you're welcoming us.
Welcoming.
We love it.
What are you wearing
to the stars?
What are you wearing today, Kath? What perfume?
Oh, do you really like it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's called Allure Sensual.
Oh,
well, hello, Bill.
Sounds expensive.
Now, Kath, of course, midwife to the stars. We know your story, written two amazing books, so you know everything about bringing kids up, which we love.
Mm.
I was talking the other day about a flight I had to take to Europe when my third son was just under two, when I got booted out of business class because of his behaviour.
Yeah.
The head of the whole plane came down and said, "We can't tolerate this anymore, you're out." But we've all sat on planes and the kids are cutting up rough and they're screaming and yelling and you feel for the poor parents because you think that everyone's looking around going, get your kid to shut up. But we've all been there and it's not easy. As an educated woman in this space, what should parents do when that happens?
Well, the thing is, as you said, we've all been there or we're all going to be there.
Yep.
So that terrible look of, please don't sit next to me.
Yes.
You know, you sort of think, oh, you know, I've paid so much money, I don't want you near me, will one day be you saying, it's okay, my child's a really good kid, you know.
Won't cry.
And it won't cry. Yeah. It's really good. It's had Fenugan, Valugan, Panadol, everything, you know. But, you know, there's really not much you can do. There's really not much you can do. The best thing is not to drug the kids.
Right.
Have
a look at Bill.
Surely you put a bit of a double dose of Fenugan or Panadol or something just to put them off to sleep for a while.
It can actually make them go a bit crackers.
Oh,
so the last thing you need is a crying baby who's crackers.
Yes.
So the best thing to do is get them into their sleep cycle so that they're, you know, tired when it's nighttime and they can settle and go to sleep. The issue often is if they've got an ear infection or a nose infection. And I tell you what, that hurts like hell.
Yep.
When you've got the pressure
altitude,
of the plane and then also, you know, mum or dad gets upset and they're trying to settle them. And like when you've got pain, nothing's going to help.
Right.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do in the build-up to the flight to get
them
right?
No, and talking, like, explaining to a two-year-old is like, you know, you've watched...
Talking to Bill.
Yeah, it was like, well, you've watched The Simpsons, haven't you?
Yes.
Yeah, so you know when Homer speaks to the dog.
Yes.
And the dog hears blah, 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 blah. That's what it's like talking to a two-year-old.
Right.
Like, they hear nothing.
Oh, that's great help. Thanks, Kath. Also, I see here, you do private childbirths. So if someone wants to do a private one at home?
No.
No.
Not at home, Bill.
No.
Well, what's private childbirth then?
No, I what I do is I go home and I help them in the home with their parenting, breastfeeding, settling their babies. But no, I don't do private childbirth at home. Do you know what, Bill? Things go wrong in childbirth so quickly, and when they go wrong... It's never good.
So just go to the hospital, have it done, and
absolutely.
Then
go home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I've spoken to a couple of ladies. Emma Hawkins, I spoke to her yesterday, lovely Em, and she loves you and got you on speed dial. And so is Beck Madden. They both speak very, very highly of you. I just wonder how much time you do speak to them and talk to them and just help them through, because they're both, well, certainly Beck, first child.
Yeah.
And help them through.
Well, it's about the first 6 weeks, which, you know, my first book's about, I do an intensive time with them.
Yeah.
And I probably speak to them 2, 3, 4, 5, 50 times a day.
And a day?
Yeah. Correct. And then as the weeks go by, it settles down. And then as the months go by, it settles down. But women need support, and they need someone to tell them what to do, because everyone's got NFI.
That's it.
What does that mean?
No, but
that just shows you. It's just not Emma and Beck, who are obviously well known, but it's everyone. Lady and Nari Warren, who's at us.
Absolutely.
It's everyone.
Yep.
So if you don't know what's going on, that's okay.
And that's the bigger problem of our society. It's not, you know, the kids who are 15. It starts at the baby stage and parenting and giving them good boundaries and helping them, know how to go to bed and say, if you're saying no, you mean no. You don't mean, well, I don't know about that, and I'll give in to you.
Yeah.
So,
sleeping issues, Jim, and all that.
Well, and the men, what they can do to help.
Well, yeah.
Because in the old days, it used to be just roll over and act as if you can't hear it.
Yeah.
Well, but you help make them. And then?
What after that?
Then you go to work and provide.
Oh, we're going to ask you, midwife Kath, what the men can do to help that exact situation next.
Midwife Kath is in the studio.
All right, so 133-53 is the number. If you've got any questions for the beautiful midwife Kath, feel free to join in the conversation. But I've got some questions here, Bill.
Righto.
That have been sent in from some of our male family members who have had young babies. And have got some pretty, I think, standard questions for midwife Kath.
Good.
Right, this is Smithy. Who asked this question. Before they've started walking, Kath, is it okay when Dad's looking after Bub? Is it okay to just leave him on the floor while you have a shower?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter?
No.
Shouldn't feel bad about that?
It's the best place for them and safest place for them to be.
Righto, middle of the room.
Put them on a rug. The worst place is in a bouncer or a Jimbo Jumbo or one of those bouncy things,
yeah,
because they can tip over. Oh. And
they were good, were they, Bill?
Those jumping, what are they called?
Jolly
jumper. How good were they?
Not while you're going to have a shower is the point.
Well, I was quick, Jim.
But it's much better to have the baby on the floor.
Right.
Next to the shower, and you can see the baby. Absolutely fine.
Righto. Well, to your question answered, Smithy. Was it? This one resonates with me a touch. Why can't men smell when a number two gets done? Because it, Bill.
They don't want to.
Quite often, it was a good hour and a half it had been in there and I hadn't realised, Bill.
Oh, yes.
Do you mean breast milk or formula fed?
No, just the old
number two.
Number two, the old poos.
Yeah, but breast milk, because breast milk you don't smell. Breast milk's beautiful.
A poo,
yeah.
Really?
It's quite a sweet smelling poo.
Jeez.
Whereas once you add food to the gut, it starts to smell like adults.
Bill, just couldn't quite pick it up.
No.
For an hour.
Maybe that's called denial or avoidance.
All right, and then you handball it over and
that's
go,
it.
Oh, it just smells.
And that one looks like it's sort of baked in.
And I also hate when people pick their baby up and smell their kid's bottom.
You don't like that? All right, well, there's an answer for you. Dingsy, Bill.
Who?
Dingsy. How long, Dingsy asks, how long can you let a baby cry in the car seat when you're on a long drive? What's the right amount of time?
How long's a drive?
Well, let's say you're going to Warrnambool. Yeah. I might just dig one up from my own past.
Yes.
You're going down there Warrnambool way, so it's 3 hours, and they start crying at about the 45-minute mark.
Geelong.
Yeah.
How long do you let
First of all, you've got to work out why the baby's crying, because...
But as a dad, you don't know that.
Well, you don't, but you've got to problem solve some things. So you've got to say, is it in pain? Is it hungry? Has it got a dirty nappy?
Right.
Is it got, you know, sometimes the car seat has got the metal. Got the buckle, the sun burning on the baby. Like, you know, they might be uncomfortable. There's lots of reasons. So you've got to take the baby out, have a good check, do all the above and put it back in. And
because, Kath, men don't like stopping once they've started.
No, I know, I understand.
In a car. That's and
a lot of things.
Patrick from Blackburnville.
Oh, midwife's with me. Don't worry about that.
I got that before you did.
Patrick, g'day. You're talking to midwife. Kath.
Oh, g'day. My partner gets a really bad morning sickness, morning, noon and night. Is that normal? And what can sort of help with that?
Yeah, it's normal and it's absolutely foul. And it's a combination for men to understand it. It's like having a really bad gastro 24 hours a day plus a hangover 24 hours a day and never, ever recovering from it.
Jeez. So what
it's
can you
really
do? What can you do for it?
So there are some medications these days which years ago weren't deemed safe that they can take. They're not always successful. But the problem is if they're vomiting all the time, they get dehydrated and then they get sicker. Mm. So they may need to go to the hospital to be rehydrated.
Righto, Nath. Clyde North. Hello, Nath.
How you going, guys?
What do you got for midwife, Kath?
So I've got a 7-month-old first, and every toy we've bought her hasn't worked, so the only thing that seems to work is the TV remote.
Yes.
And the wife reckons it's just an infestation of germs, and I really don't care, and I keep getting greasy looks every time I give her the TV remote, and I'm just wondering, is anything actually wrong with that?
Well, yes and no. First of all, don't give her the TV remote. And like kids don't need too many toys. They've got hands and they've got feet and they've got other things to look at, but TV remotes are probably not the best toys. I would be on your wife's side, to be honest.
If you cleaned it.
But who cleans their TV remote?
Well, if your if I had a 7-month-old and that's the only thing that kept it quiet, I reckon I'd clean it.
They're in the mouth and
I've got another one here from Baz.
Oh, Baz. Yep. What does Baz say, Jim?
Baz asked this question about his young son. If he's quite nicely sized downstairs and his son isn't, is that going to change as his son gets older?
Is that Max? I'm sure it's from Max, my boy, Kath.
Baz is concerned that he's well endowed.
Does he want the good news or the bad news?
I think he wants the good news.
The good news, Max is going to stay the same.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's any.
What do you mean by that? So if you're small when you're brand new, you're small forever.
Yeah.
Fair dinkum.
So if you're big. Is circumcision still a big fight?
No.
No,
It used to be traditionally on day 5, every boy was circumcised.
Yes, that's right.
Religious reasons is the main reason that babies are circumcised. Occasionally, I'd say probably 10 a year, men would say, I want my son circumcised because I want my son's penis looking like mine. Well, who's going to walk down the street and say, our penises are the same?
Kath, great to see you. You're getting around on the crutches because you've had the hip, but you're going beautifully. Good
and
to see you.
A podcast
going over 1 million downloads.
Gee,
beautiful.
Well, anyone can get in contact with Midwife Kath. Podcast One and iTunes.
Yep. Good. Thanks, guys.
Well done, Kath.
Great to see you again.
Now, Bill.
Yep.
133353, let's do this. Family members get involved right now.
Mm-hmm.
This is the juvenile stuff that you used to carry on with when you were a kid that you still find funny.
I love it, Jim.
And I'm going to give you an example. Yesterday, I'm heading out of the car park downstairs here, Clarendon Street, Coles. Get up to the boom gate, and about 3 cars ahead, someone was stopped.
Forgot their ticket,
whatever it was. So the security guard was there and trying to explain to them how to do it and all the rest of it. So they're stopped. two cars back, then it's me, and I'm just sitting there patiently waiting for this person to get their act together so we can all leave.
I love this.
Fat turns up behind me, so I look and I see the bloody Ringwood Mazda or whatever it is behind
me. Yes, that's it. Ringwood.
And I'm thinking, right, 5, 4, 3. I knew it was only going to be seconds. 2, 1. Fat hits the horn. Anyway, I just start laughing because that is exactly what my brother used to do when we were kids, firstly in cars. If he ever pulled up behind me at a set of lights and there were three cars in front, he'd just permanently horn, and then the car in front of me thought it was me. Bloke said, get out, whatever piece. I'd be going, mate, it's not me.
So, and Jim, what happened last
night? Idiot Fat hits the horn. This old bat in front of us.
Passenger side seat.
She gets, that's enough of that. She starts I'm just roaring with laughter.
She's having a go at Jim. It was fantastic.
And as she's having a go at me, I am pissing myself laughing. Fat goes again. Honestly, it took me back to when I was 18. It used to happen to us all the time. So therefore, hands. 1-3-3-5-3. What are you giving away, please, Ramsey?
That awesome Urban Mess product pack that's got face washers, a precision trimmer, beard trimming kit, hair stuff. It's awesome.
Ring us with the real immature stuff that you used to do as a kid that you still find funny.
Midweek rub after 3, including apparently 12 All-Australians at Carlton.
I don't know. I don't believe he can do it.
That's what Nate's bringing. But, Jimmy, speaking of immature things that...
still make you giggle.
Still make us giggle. Now, fast forward. I used to love fast forward back in the day.
Yes.
And there was a character there, Kelvin Cunnington, and he had that stupid giggle. We've dug it up. Have a listen to Kelvin.
Just make a hard left up here.
Hard left. Hard,
Oh, Jim.
Fair dinkum.
He just had that stupid giggle every time someone said something.
What?
Double entendre?
Oh, no. Matty. Just please. Just anywhere there. 1-3-3-5-3. We're taking your calls. Stuff that you found hilarious as a kid that still makes you laugh.
Yes.
Tash is in Torquay, Bill.
Oh, Tash, what do you got for us?
Well, I'm a proper lady, I think, but still today, even if anyone passes wind, I lose it.
Oh, no.
I will call people out on it because I just snap back to immaturity.
How old are you, Tash?
30.
30.
Should know better.
And a proper lady?
And still
like it? I'm otherwise a proper lady, but if someone does that, I just lose it.
No, Tash, no one. There's not a living person that don't find farts funny.
Oh, no, Sam.
No, but he doesn't like the smell of them. I think Tash is more talking the audio.
No.
Hearing them.
I think he just hates them.
Steve in Chelsea. Hello, Steve.
G'day, how you going?
Good. Funny stuff that you used to do as a kid that you still find funny.
Oh, mate, I've never grown up. 35 and I still do the prank calls with me kids on every now and then.
So what do you do? Yeah,
and it works better with the kids as well. They say they're doing a school survey, ask what train line people are living on. When they reply, say, get off, train's coming.
Oh,
no. Oh, Phil.
Come on, Stevie.
Prank calls.
Chels in Geelong. Hello, Chels.
G'day.
What do you got for us, Chels?
It's actually me and my husband. We still do it to each other. Whenever you drop something like a pen on the ground and you put your hand over their head and they can't get up.
Oh.
And he does it to our kids now, and now our kids will do it to us.
Yeah, good.
It's a little bit immature, but we also have it in. We'll do it in the shopping centre or something. The kids are bloody all in brawl, and I'm too much.
Stay there. Very good, Phil. Hoppers Crossing, Phil.
Gentlemen, how are we?
What are you finding funny that you used to laugh at as a kid?
The idea was to find yourself a dog turd, or if you couldn't find one, produce one of your own and put it in a paper bag, get it on someone's doorstep and set it on fire and ring the doorbell and run and hide.
Come on.
And watch them come out and stomp on it and put it there.
Come on, filth.
Jim, they stomp on it and then they got dog poo on their
dog poo or find one of your own.
Come on.
Joe's in St. Albans. Joey.
Jim, you asked for this.
Oh, no. Come on, Joey. What do you got?
Yeah, g'day. I used to hide around the corner in the hallway and jump out and scare me mum as she walked down the hallway. My wife cops it now.
How does she go with it?
Well, she's not overly impressed.
No.
After the fifth or sixth time, you get sick of it.
You probably had enough.
Poor old mum.
But funny.
What about mum? She's
Nat Mornington, Bill.
Hey, Nat.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What do you got for us?
I always like bubble gum. It's my favourite, and I used to put as many as I could in my mouth and try and blow bubbles, and I do it now, and I have to remember that it's probably not what you do at 47, and people look at me quite strangely.
47, she's blowing bubbles.
Oh, I love beautiful. It. Bubble gum.
Well done, Nat. Stay there. Blake in Torquay, Bill.
Oh, Blake.
Yeah, g'day. G'day, boys. How are we?
We've got a couple from Torquay, Jim, which tells me something down there. Yeah.
Mate, nothing more than I used to love than reaching over the old boys' door in the front and letting a good fart rip and putting my finger on the child lock windows. still this day, when we go on family trips, mate, I'm nearly 30 years old and don't mind the old letting one rip and letting them gasp on it. And even with the missus, she absolutely hates it, mate.
The missus.
Just hit the child lock.
Remember you used to go, pull me finger.
Yeah, no, you did.
I still do it.
Aidan Backus Marsh. Aido.
How's it going, fellas?
What do you got for us?
Me and my mates growing up, just when we were about 18, first got our licences, we used to like going around and flashing the licence because there was a speed camera coming up.
Yeah.
And then obviously we go around and do it all the time, no speed cameras around the corner, just watch everyone go 10Ks under their speed. Classic.
That was the big thing in Backus Marsh, wasn't it?
Yep. Flashing, yeah, it was.
Flashing lights.
Flashing Jim. People to slow down when there was no speed camera. Bill,
oh, gee.
I don't care what anyone says. Yeah. It's funny.
It is.
You obviously got out yesterday after your incident.
No, geez, it was funny. I kept tooting.
That old bat.
And the old girl didn't.
She's just turned around and, have some patience.
She got back in. I tooted again.
You are an idiot. All right, who are we giving the prize to, please?
The dog turd.
Or find one of your own.
Or find one of your own, says Phil.
That's
from
Phil
Hoppers.
From Hoppers Crossing.
You got a beard, Phil?
Oh, I have, mate. Yeah, I certainly do.
Well, Bill, perfect. You've won the Urbane Mist product pack. It's superior grooming for the discerning urban man that sounds like you, who doesn't take himself too seriously.
I like
you can
it.
Grab it at Woolworths.
And Steve from Chelsea, I love too. Still prank calling his kids. Hey, if they're on the train line, get off.
Get off.
The train's coming. All right, Steve, you got. So, what are we giving Stevie, please?
Double pass to Revolutions, Records and Rebels. Oh. That's the 60s rock and roll museum at the Melbourne Museum.
Oh, a good topic. I like it. Bit of fun,
that's
bit of laughter.
What we do.
Exactly.
I can see Nath Brown. He's told us he's finding these players from Carlton.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
And now look at him. He's got two as we speak.
He said 12. Oh, come on, Nath.
Now, we're talking about stuff that when you're a kid you found funny and you still find funny. And I think we've had some feedback, Radzi.
Yes, we have.
Who's it? Where's it from?
It's from David Dobiasek
on
Twitter.
And what is he saying?
I still find Benny Hill as well as Hale and Pace Bill. Funny.
Benny Hill. When that old little gore bastard. Because the big buxom blonde with the bikini, and then there'd be that tiny little old ball bastard.
Tap him on the head.
Tap him on the head. And then he'd take off through the shopping centre, and the conga line would be following him. Bill, that's funny. I don't care what anyone says. That's funny.
Yep. No, it is. You're like a bit like your Death Adder or whatever it was.
Blackadder. Also brilliant.
Boys, I've got a special announcement for you. WWE is returning to Melbourne. How good is that? Melbourne, October 23.
Right.
Superstars including Roman Reigns, Kofi Kingston, Finn Balor, Charlotte Flair, Melbourne's own Buddy Murphy,
Buddy's
and
there.
Other Australians, jeez. Billy Kay and Peyton Royce. They're all coming to Melbourne. It's at Rod Laver Arena. You can grab your tickets May 28 at Ticket Tech.
Charlotte Flair, the daughter of Ric Flair.
Yes.
Hello. Jeez, back in the day, Bill. She were massive, of course.
Buddy's a Melbourne boy.
Buddy Me's from Berwick.
Berwick, is
it?
Oh, good on him.
So,
what are you doing, by the way?
I'm just checking something.
You just walked out, middle of the show, went and grabbed an iPad. You're walking back in, and now you're not focusing on anything anyone's doing.
No, I'm just seeing what they're saying about those silly, immature things,
and?
Jim. What was the brother, stepbrothers, when he put his nads on the drum kid?
I love. Don't say anything, Rabs.
No, that's it, Jim. He put him.
No one knows what you're talking about.
Yes, they do. When he put his what do you call that when you do that tea bagging or something?
Oh! Bill,
I think it is, Jim.
Get your sentences right
and
before you go to air with them.
No one was allowed to touch the drum kit, Jim.
Oh, no.
And so he got in there and just,
he took a photo of it.
And I don't know what he did. I can't remember now. But I'm just reading here while
that's
I'm trying.
What you're doing that?
Well, I'm trying to talk. Well, I tell you what else is coming up now that I've got my mouth working is Simon Goodwin. Simon Goodwin had he was at a press conference today.
Oh no!
And he had to have a little spell, Jim. So
yeah,
he,
yeah. I've got my mouth working.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So we'll be all over that after 3 o'clock with Nath and Damo. And everyone else.
Oh, how's that for a hook? It's a rush hour. Triple
how could
M.
you not listen to that?
Now on Triple M's Rush Hour.
What about that?
This is the Midweek Rush.
This one is good.
Triple M rocks footy.
Damo and Nath in the house as we get stuck into the midweek rub. This is a Wednesday segment where we tell you everything that's going on in the AFL. Welcome to you, Nath.
Yeah, good to be here, Jim. Always great.
And Damo, hello, as always, Jim. Good to see you too. Now, we've got a situation with regard to the AFL and the Blues. Firstly, their player Dale Thomas and then their cheer squad around messaging to umpires. $7,500 for Dale Thomas.
I have no issue with that amount. I have no issue with him being fined. And I think AFL industry should just embrace the fact that what he said to an umpire, using the cheat word, is just a no-go zone from here on in. And if he has to be the scapegoat for that to be the case, well, so be it. I think he arguably might have got off a little bit light.
What about what Dangerfield said, that he should umpire some kids' games, go back to, I don't know where it is.
Yeah.
An umpire, boundary umpire, do some kids' games, go back to a country footy club or a suburban footy
club. Look, he could do that if he wants to, Bill. I reckon it's a bit of lip service when they go down that path at the expense of not having the expense with a sanction. I think a player missing a game of footy is the worst thing he can do with a sanctionable offence, and I think the second worst thing for a player is a heavy fine, which he's copped.
Well, so obviously the AFL, with the fines they've handed out in the last 2 weeks, fine, calling an umpire a cheat, deemed to be a worse offence than saying you sound like a girl. So how do you get $5,000 fine compared to a $7,500 fine? I don't get that. I would have thought if you're going to give a fine for something like that, for degrading language to either about a girl or to an umpire, it's probably the same amount, isn't it?
It's a fair point. I mean, you raised this with me off air a moment ago. I hadn't thought about it in that context, but I've thought about it since, Brownie. I reckon you raise a really good point, and maybe just make it a straight $10,000 fine for whatever, and you tell the player that you remove all context around the comment. Just don't say anything to do with cheating or sounding like a girl.
Fair enough. There's not a lot you can say anymore, but as a cheer squad member, if I was a fully paid up member of my cheer squad and I wanted to go, I believe that I should be able to, if I don't vilify somebody, if I don't say something wrong, and we all know what we can and can't say, if you want to go to the game and chant stuff about the umpire like that, which has happened in cricket for 100 years, it's going to happen for the next 100 years, you should be able to pay your money, go to the ground and yell out pretty much whatever you want, unless you are offending someone racially, about their religion, about who they are. I think that is, I don't think anybody can sanction what you can yell out at the field.
The only thing I'll say about that is I've always believed that just because you pay your attendance fee, it doesn't give you a right to do anything you want to do.
No, there's a line there, and you know what you can't cross, but they're talking about you can't call the umpire
a halfback flanker.
Hey, and do you think there's an issue with that? Do you think it's an issue if people have a chant like happened in the cricket for hundreds of years, haven't been around that long, but has happened at the cricket for a long time?
I don't like it. And what's wrong with trying to strive to actually be better than that?
I just think everybody's trying to control everything you do at the football, or everything you think, or everything you can and can't say. There's got to be an element of being a person.
But Damo, with regard to the Dale Thomas one, did the AFL preempt? Have they gone to the players and said, now, you know, we must have the umpire spoken to in a better manner? And I agree with that. I'm with you on this. Yep. I think we will get no one to umpire the game unless we start treating it with more respect. But was there a heads up, or were these two examples of the AFL to said, bugger it, we're throwing the kitchen sink at you?
If there was, Jim, I'm not aware of it. I haven't directly asked the question, but at the same time, I've had no one suggesting to me that that is the case. And what I do know, though, is there's been a bit of friction between the umpires and even the AFL. We saw that when Sean Ryan was given permission to speak about those free kicks on Anzac Day, but they had to request, and quite vigorously request, the right to do so, which was out of normal practice. So there's that as a backdrop to it. And I think the AFL has probably done the right thing in the last 2 weeks on these two moments we're talking about.
All right. So you two both played the game at the highest level a lot. Back in your day, Bill, especially, The whole white maggot thing was rife.
Yeah,
people just went to the footy and for 2 hours just abused the umpires.
So did the players.
The whole way through, and then so did the players. It got so bad that at one stage in your time, you actually were sanctioned for doing it, and but the umpire had to turn around and say, are you talking to me?
You got one. You got one chance.
Yeah. I mean, that's
so
how bad it
was. So you'd say, you white maggot, you're da-da-da, and he'd say, are you talking to me?
No, I wasn't.
And you'd say, no. But what then you'd do, you get a player near the umpire and you go, you are the worst player. You make mistakes, and you yell at the player, meaning the umpire. But I'll tell you what also.
So do we need, do you both acknowledge that had to go? Well, like we have to get better behaviour on the field towards the umpire.
Like a lot of things back in our day, a lot of things had to improve. But what we did do after a game back in my day, early days, the players we'd have a drink with the opposition team, but the umpires would come in too, Jim.
Yep.
And you'd actually have a beer with the umpires. And you go, actually, he's human. He's actually not a bad fella. Yeah. And you get to know the umpires a little bit and you talk to them. Whereas now,
but Bill, what's wrong with
this, assuming they're human before you have a beer with them? What's wrong with just trying to be better from the outset?
But we didn't back then. Now it's changed. Back then we, I don't know why, we just didn't think they were human. They were umpires and everyone from, supporters, everyone hung it on them. But I don't think we have enough connection with the umpires.
The players have to set the example, definitely, but I don't think you can expect the supporters to set the example.
Why don't umpires go down to training?
They're doing that more than not.
But
more
do they get down amongst the players and
they umpire the match, Sim?
Actually, I heard Razor Ray today on SEN. This was very good. He was on there. It was actually, one, good to hear from him. Mm-hmm. But two, he said, there's no way I can think about cheating when I'm umpire. I'm thinking about the decision. Did he drop it? Did he get rid of it? And then, free to the Gold Coast Suns. Then where are we going next?
He said,
there's not one stage do I think about how I could.
But no one, has anyone ever thought an umpire is at the highest level? Has cheated
at the time.
Really,
you say stupid things
but
like that.
Do you honestly think a teammate of yours or yours, Brownie, has ever thought deep down someone cheated?
No, but you say that. It comes out when you're in the heat of the moment. You say some stupid things.
Everyone makes mistakes.
Dale Thomas the same. He just said it was stupid.
Yeah.
And when you sit back and you think, you go, no, they don't cheat. Of course they don't cheat. But at the time, you just say, tell me what Rampy was thinking when he ran up the post. Mm. You do stupid things in the heat of the moment.
But Damo, the mistake. To mistake ratio from Carlton to the umpires is 10-1, isn't it? If you watch a quarter of Carlton play footy, they're making 10 more mistakes a minute than the umpires.
Probably being a bit lenient on what they actually are doing. It might be 15 or 20.
They do a bloody good job. I love the fact that less free kicks are being paid, Nate. Exactly. For me, that makes the game so much better to watch.
The ducking into a contest one, they've got that 100% right. Players ducking in, not being paid for a too high free kick, which is great.
I think the umpiring, Damo, is as good as it's ever been in the game at the moment.
Really?
And, I honestly do. I reckon they're starting to get it right.
And, in the past 3 weeks.
Yep, I reckon. I love the fact that less are being paid. Yeah, I love the fact that what Nafe said, players who are trying to drag freeze are being told on the ground to stop doing it. I love it.
But what you,
more of it.
What you would like to see is after the game, we just got that one wrong.
Well, they do that.
No, they don't.
Maybe not enough.
No,
they don't often say they got one wrong.
If they just come out and said, look, sorry about the free kick 23rd minute, third quarter, we got that one wrong, we go, okay, that's fine.
Starting to see some injury pile into our game, Purple, and big injury too, Dev Smith being one who's we hear mightn't play for the rest of the year.
Yeah, it does look that way now. They've admitted to it being an 8-week injury, and the added concern is a pre-existing knee condition, which they may well and almost seemingly certainly will treat now. So it does look that way as we speak, Jim, that he's done for 2019.
Ben McAvoy also, 6 weeks.
Big boy.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, got
that's going to hurt
during
him.
The weekend.
Ankle cinders, Moses.
Well, he got a tackle, went right underneath his body.
Well, he got a big Segler to come in. He's a very good player, Segler.
But
so
McAvoy,
obviously you need McAvoy.
He's
He's the best ruckman that goes forward and can kick goals.
What about, I see Buddy may not play again. That's been and Mason Cox. They've gone on for a week.
Have now. Yeah. John Longmire hasn't yet declared Buddy right, has he, for the Friday night game. So I'd imagine he's obviously still in some doubt. It's already been 4 weeks, Bill. It was meant to be one.
And Cox.
Yeah, it's lingering, isn't it? Because that was actually meant to be a 1 week injury at the time as well. It's been three, I think. Yeah, three.
Three.
Yep.
Yep.
And their Friday night game, no Langdon, no Darcy Moore. So, they've been good, Collingwood, by the way.
Yeah.
But they will have a few out. Hey, Steve Hocking, speaking of the AFL footy boss, do we hear enough from him? He's about to speak to the media for just the second time in the first 10 weeks of this season.
He's ready
should
to
it
do
be
that
more?
Today, is he? On the back of the competition committee meeting. They're all at AFL House today.
What is that meeting?
It's just the, two or three times a year meeting with all the representations of coaches, players, chief executives, presidents, chair people. So they're all, there's about 20 people, I think, in the room today just to work out where the game's going, what is happening. It might be a reflection, Jim, on how they've changed the interpretations of certain rules.
I love when he speaks.
Personally, I'd love to hear more from Stephen Hocking.
Yep.
For you, I love the way, like you were just about to say, he speaks. He's strong. He gets to the point. There's no fluffing around. So when he says something, you actually believe it.
You do.
And I'd love to hear from him maybe every third week or something like that just to clear up all the questions that are going on about the game because he's a very strong voice.
That's how he played. Straight ahead.
You were scared of him.
Oh, no.
Yes.
You certainly were, because this is what you used to do. You'd bring jumpers down and try and get the boys to sign them, put them in the boot to help you get a little more at the cashish.
I agree with that.
And Hock used to bust you, and he'd go, oi, you.
No, he'd look. He wouldn't even say that. He's got these blue eyes. They pierce through you, and he'd look at you, and you'd just put your head down and go out the back and just have to wait out in the car park till the boys walked out. Mate, he did. He'd scare you. But you would like to hear from
Hock. Like a nuffy.
Sell him at the... Oh, did all right. Hey, after this, Nate's got...
I don't believe it. A lot
of A graders there.
He went off in the holster.
Yes.
That's what he did.
And
he went out with something that I'm not sure he can back up.
No, well, I can back it up. Don't you worry.
All right. What is he going to say, please, Rabjack?
He reckons there's 12 potential Australians in Carlton's list.
I found another one. I got 13.
13!
This is the Midweek Rub.
The chance is up.
Triple M rocks footy.
Nath Brown's in, as is Damien Barrett, of course, for your Midweek Rub. All the big topics are struck. Now, Nath, on the way in, you said to us that you thought, well, you put 12 as the number.
I found another one.
Of Carlton players who are potential All-Australians.
Well, this is on the back of where they've been drafted, the talent that they have in their bodies at the moment, and based on where other people have been drafted and gone on to play All-Australian football.
Right.
So it's all about talent, and then it paints a picture about where Carlton are. And you know, I've been bullish on Carlton for a while now, Damo.
You
and
have.
I've been very defensive of Brendan Bolton and where they're going. But when you
are
look,
you still?
I'm bullish about their playing list, but Carlton potential.
Before you start, 13 is an extraordinarily large number.
Well, I didn't ask you to jump in before I started. So.
I'm just setting this up for you to now justify
so
this number of 13.
And I've taken out the seasoned players in Cripps, Cruiser, Thomas Doherty.
Oh, you've taken them out.
Who could possibly? These are young players who, in time.
So there's 18.
So you tell me out of these players who, where they've been drafted, the talent they've had in time when they're good players and Carlton are playing well, could be all Australian.
Righto.
Now, you got Charlie Kerno?
Yes.
I'll give you that.
Yeah. Paddy Dow?
Not yet.
No.
Yes, I'll
but
give
in
you
the
that.
Future, Damo.
No, no, not
take
yet.
Take your glasses off and open your eyes.
No, not yet.
You can't say
just because he
future.
Went three or four in the draft.
Well, this is on potential in the future.
These are future.
They're not
going to
be all Australian this year.
Righto, no, I'll
you
give
didn't
you
think I said this year, did you?
Well, I think you did. Now you've beep, beep, beep. Righto.
I didn't say this year. So you got Fisher.
Not yet.
Marchbank.
No.
McGovern.
Yes.
No. That's Mitch McGovern, Jim.
I know. Marchbank and McGovern, I think,
McKay.
Are potential.
McKay.
I'll give you McKay.
Yeah.
Big Harry.
O'Brien.
Not yet.
No.
Not don't Damo. It's
not okay. Okay. Not yet. No.
Listen to what I'm saying. They're not going to be all Australian this year, but they could be in 3 or 4 years' time.
No.
Okay. Petrevsky Seaton.
No.
Yes.
Setterfield.
Definitely no.
Can't wear 43.
Walsh.
Yes.
Wiedering.
No.
No.
Yes.
Wiedering will never be all Australian.
No. I'm saying yes.
No.
Plowman.
No.
No.
Definitely no.
Stocker.
No.
They're the potential.
So you got three.
All Australians. That's 13. Brisbane have only got 8. So you'd have to think, where are they at the moment? They've got that. Let's okay. You guys anywhere from 8 to 13.
Mate,
you guys nodded and said yes. They
no
so
more
they
list.
Have
no more list
some
for
extraordinary
you.
Talent on this list. So you got to wonder why they are where they are at the moment, being 18th.
Well, I'm giving you 8 of them out of the 13,
which is still a lot.
Yeah, it is
when
still
you,
a lot. Potential players who could potentially be
on the top of Cripps, Cruiser, Thomas Doherty. So you start to think, do they need the change at the top? And I've been a big supporter of Brendan Bolton, but at the moment, being an ex-Blue supporter, I get a bit frustrated.
No more lists for you. I got one. Essendon Footy Club.
I didn't mind it, Nave. Yes.
Essendon Footy
list?
Club.
Is it a list?
Well, it's nearly is.
Okay.
The back line, right? Tell me this. I'm going to go through their side. The back line, two All-Australians, Hurley and Hooker. Very, very good players.
Yes.
Then you got great run from McKenna and Saad.
Yes.
And throw in Andy McGrath if you want to.
He's,
nice.
He's very good player.
Very good
nice
back,
mix.
It's a very good back line.
Yeah. They're All-Australian.
Well, not
this
all.
Year?
No, I'm not going with the All-Australian.
Granny, let it go.
I'll go with the midfield. All-Australians. Yeah. Shield. Zach Merritt, Dyson Heppel, all Australians, and throw in Zaharakis. Nice midfield.
Nice midfield.
Yep. Forward line, Joe Danaher hasn't played all this year.
But lots of talent.
Yeah. Jake Stringer's up there. They're both all Australians.
He's going well. Yep.
Tippin Woody, Fantasia, Devin Smith has played all this year so far. I realise he's not out. Then we'll throw in some good kids. That Redmond's a very good player.
Yep.
Francis, Ambrose. The bloke who dyed his hair.
Guelphy.
The Guelph.
So that's 15.
So what's your point, Bill?
Well, tell me why they're only 4 and 5.
It's just what I just did.
No, tell me why they're 4 and 5 and only just going. Tell me that.
Because they can't kick the footy, Bill. Their skill level isn't up to AFL standard. A lot of those players are good, but a lot of those players can't deliver the football to AFL standard.
And they don't get enough goals out of their midfield, Bill.
Righto. That's what I wanted. That's hence I threw it up.
Damo.
Hence.
This is where, when we have forensically looked at Essendon before, and our man, the Bogan, who used to work here, gets as headless as anyone because he's just a Bogan Essendon supporter.
Ronnie, yes.
The farm is sold. Yeah, forget about keeping some paddocks. They've sold the whole lot. Well, and it was a bloody big, fertile farm too.
They've recruited well, though, Jim, and those guys actually have performed. Stringer, Saad, Smith.
Purple, that's not my point. My point is...
What's your point?
They've got no first-round picks the last two, and they've got none in the one coming up because they've gone and got these
with
players.
Shield, yeah.
So that's three straight drafts of not having a first-round draft pick. So the ones they've recruited and want to get the job done, because that's 3 years of none of the elite talent in the comp coming into your club. That would be the worry for me on the back of what Bill's talking about.
Yeah.
If they were 7-2 right now, you'd say, righto, I still need to be convinced, but pretty happy with the strategy. But at the moment, if you're an Essendon person, are you happy with that strategy?
Not, as you say, after 9 rounds of them being 4 and 5 and with clear big question marks now, do they actually even make the finals?
And they've got the talent, so I'd be advising go out and get the best skill level operator in the business. Find out who is the best of that department, who is going to take us from a 4 out of 10 to an 8 out of 10 and pay them whatever they're worth.
Hey, Carlton Footy Club, speaking of them, they've got 27 All-Australians apparently coming up. Now, they had a team meeting the other day, and then Cripps and Doherty got up and they said, coaches, out.
Out.
And it was only the players. Very direct player-to-player feedback, I'm told. Very direct.
Leading team style.
Eyeballing, exactly. But only the players, no coaches. So you could say whatever you wanted about a coach.
Melbourne had one of them earlier in the year too, didn't they? I think they had an honesty session.
But did they have the coach involved?
Yeah, good players.
This is one where you could say about the coach if you didn't like him.
Oh, hello.
Like, and the what they're doing.
And,
are you saying that's what happened?
I don't know, but without the coach being in there, it gives them a chance to say.
I like it, Bill.
Yes.
I know North used to do it, Kangaroo Court. They used to have it, you know, when they needed to. Blokes needed to eyeball each other. I like it.
Yeah.
Because it's all very well when the coach, Nave, tells you what, you know, a bit like your boss.
Yeah.
But when you actually get eyeballed by the people you work with.
Your mate.
And he's your mate and he goes, that's not good enough.
Spot on.
It resonates.
And Sam Walsh, in his first year, might say something. You know, and you go, oh, hang on. Hello? That's good. You'd like to hear from the younger players, don't you?
They had a form of crisis meeting after North Melbourne in round 7, Bill. They then played okay against Collingwood the next week. And then in round 9, which makes it 2 out of the past 3 weeks, they've had some form of outside the normal meeting, which makes me concerned what happens if they then lose badly again to St Kilda on the Sunday. What's the next step, Jim? What do you do then?
Let's hope they don't for that exact reason. Hey, I saw on the AFL website all of the Indigenous jumpers. What a great thing that's
how
become.
How good do they look?
Brilliant. Yeah. In fact, the North Melbourne Indigenous jumper looks a hell of a lot better than the away strip they're wearing this year with that stupid kangaroo.
Yeah.
So I love all of them. I reckon they all look brilliant.
I agree, Jim. And I'd encourage people to have a look before the round of footy starts. My personal favourites out of this year's batch is the Carlton and Collingwood ones.
Great.
But it's obviously in the eye of the beholder, and I'm no fashionista, as you know.
I'm just surprised the AFL's found some room other than Damo to put anything anywhere because you are over everything at the moment. You walk in there and
still billboards of you.
You frighten everybody.
Is that right?
Yeah.
It's fair call, Brent.
Even the AFL CEO a couple of weeks ago on the Saturday Rub admitted that there was overkill
it was,
when it came to the glasses. He couldn't work out.
No.
And he runs the joint.
I think they've defaced that billboard at Nepean Highway too, Jim.
Oh, no.
We wouldn't recommend that, but go for it.
Yeah. Simon Goodwin, tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, look, I haven't seen it. I've had a few journos refer to the fact that he stopped a press conference short today when he was short of breath, feeling dizzy, feeling faint. We've got the replacement for him, Bill. It was Troy Chaplin who stood in for him at short notice and gave an explanation as to what happened.
How's the coach? Is he going to be right for the weekend?
Oh, look, he's just catching up with the doctor now. He just said he was feeling a little bit lightheaded, so we expect him to coach this week. So, yeah, a little bit of a shock, stand-in coach. So, it's interesting.
You're not preparing for take over the reins or anything like that?
Wouldn't have thought so. We'll leave that to the other coaches. As a group, we'll just collectively look after today and, Goody will be fine.
Always a worry, though, isn't it, when something like that does happen? And again, the Melbourne Footy Club has been at pains to say to anyone who's asked the question, is he okay? They're saying yes, and he will coach. But, not ideal.
Yeah.
First time I've caught up with you, Nath, since Friday night at Judd Central.
Yes.
Now, Purple gave us quite a sanitised description of what happened.
One of the great nights. One of the great nights where Greg Williams, who is, let's be honest, he's if not in the top three players of all time, he'd be in the top five comfortably. And he was talking about the two Brownlows and the Norm Smith medal and his Lee Matthews trophy, which the judge quite clearly has won. But the thing that amazed me was when Diesel said, Chris, now, no disrespect here, but imagine if I had your pace and I had your athletic ability. And I would not have lost the Brownlow medal the entire time I played. And he goes, and conversely, Juddy, he goes, if you were gifted what I had in my body, he goes, you wouldn't have played park football at all.
And he's clearly let go of that 40 possession game too where he didn't pop.
Absolutely not. No.
He's been able to move past that one.
Oh. Yeah, it might have been a bit of a fall for Diesel down the stairs at the end of the night where a little bit of wine whenever, I think it was the last bit of the Grange that we hadn't taken part of yet, but
the Diesel.
Yeah,
there was a noise. I didn't know what it was, Brownie. Was
Duke left early. He's never been a team man, the Duke.
And if you made the mistake of leaving early, as Duke did, as Howie did, was anyone else who left early? Diesel then gave them a phone call on the way home to remind them that they weren't that
good. Last time Duke left early, he had a big blow up with Dr. Rowan White. I don't know how you blow up with Dr. Rowan White.
Nice, world's nicest man.
They stormed out. An eyeball session to each other where Duke stormed out.
The Duke of Wellness.
He might have got an invoice. Didn't want to pay it. I tell you what, Josh Kay, is it, from Channel 7, just put up a nice little stat there because everyone was interested that the big Ivan Soldo got upheld. He's got the week. He was stiff, everyone's saying.
Well, he's not a Brownlow medalist, so they upheld this one.
Just wait. Career Brownlow votes. Ablett, 248. Fife, 141. Soldo, 0.
There you go.
That'll do it pretty much every time. That. There is. Hey, nice to see you too.
What's happened to your eye, Jim?
Yeah, I don't know. Pink eye.
I think I've got a little bit of pink eye. I don't know what happened to it, actually. I might have poked it in the middle of the night without realising because it's not good.
Make sure you fix that before boxing tomorrow morning.
Otherwise, I'll get two of them.
Splurting over to my eye.
Actually, will. Nice to see you. Nice to see you, too, Purple.
See you, Bill. I see you, Don.
It's the Rush Hour on Triple M up next. Bill's massive ball. Find out how he went. I'll give it a hot tip. It rhymes with blast. It's the Rush Hour.
Fast.
Or last. Triple M.
One of the great prizes of all time, the ultimate New Zealand golfing weekend for two, return flights to Queenstown accommodation, Jack's Point Lake House, and two rounds of golf at Shangri-La. If you're a golfer, the Jack's Point Golf Course, you pay nothing for all of that.
Yep.
That was on the line today when we got to the final of Bill's massive ball. We had five finalists, three drives. We put them all together, and whoever out of the three had achieved the most distance, Bill, won that prize.
Accumulated.
And the rest, of course, had the custom fit M5 or M6 driver and a year's worth of TP5X golf balls from the magnificent people at TaylorMade. So we've got a little snippet here, I think, Raji, of what we did today at the simulator out there in, where the hell was it?
Clayton.
In Clayton.
Five golfing superstars and Billy Brownless set themselves up at the TaylorMade Lab in Clayton.
Oh, we're very excited, Bill. It has come down to this.
The player with the three longest cumulative drives wins the trip to New Zealand.
That's magnificent, Jim.
Billy got us underway.
Cinderella story. Oh, wow!
212 metres, Bill. That's rubbish.
That all, it's gone.
Yep.
Glenn from Druin was first to try and beat Billy.
Righto, Glenroy.
And that wasn't an issue.
Jeez, club head speed there. That's just airmailed Fats ball.
But Dave from Point Cook struggled a bit.
Oh. That's over Cow Corner for six.
Matt from Torquay got us back on track.
Hello. Might just have snuck into the lead there with a 225.
Then our two heaviest hitters, Rob from Bond Beach.
260.
There we go. 268.
And Tyson from Torquay.
Yeah, that's not.
There we are.
Set the benchmark.
265.
Round two saw much of the same as Billy struggled with his line.
No, they're low.
Why? It just has got a little cut about it.
But Matt got right into one.
Oh.
That's got a bit of juice.
Yeah.
Have a look at that. 278.
That's the longest so far, Jim.
So with one round to go, Rob led the way on 538 metres, followed by Tyson on 530 and Matt on 503. Meanwhile, Glenn on 459, Billy on 424 and Dave on 313 needed a miracle.
I'd see Dave if you can hit that green bit. That'd be a good start.
After Billy finally got hold of one...
That's it, I'm getting better.
Matt stepped up to put the pressure on Rob and Tyson.
Oh, that's nice. 267, eh?
267.
Then Rob, with a trip to New Zealand on the line, unleashed an absolute monster.
It's gotta be.
Keep going, baby. Go on. Hey!
Oh, 300.
294. Now. If you don't mind, umpire, please.
So it all came down to Tyson.
Tyson Gill, with the final drive of the competition, needs a 303. We haven't seen anything go 300 metres, Fat.
No.
To win the trip for two. Oh, has it got the trip? Needs to go.
No, it hasn't gone.
Well done, Rob Tennant from Bond Beach, the winner of Billy's massive ball.
What a man. Now, we're going to get to Rob in just a sec, but well, how do people see that, please, Rob?
Head to Triple M, Rush Hour, Instagram and Facebook.
Hey, well done to Maddie there. Nice little
brilliant job of that, Maddie. And we got Rob on the line from Bond Beach. Rob.
Yes, boys. How are you?
We saw you this morning out there at the simulator at TaylorMade. How good's that, by the way?
Oh, it's just awesome, isn't it? It's like everything TaylorMade does, it's just to the top end of town, and why would you go anywhere else?
Has it sunk in yet that you've won Bill's massive ball and you're going to New Zealand?
Well, I mean, fairness, mate, it's not like you were much competition. You gave you five hits. If you got five hits, then it might be a different story.
But
not forget, mate, JB hit a couple afterwards, and I think I know why he stepped out and didn't get involved.
No,
exactly.
I think it'd be a good contest, you two going head-to-head.
I was hitting a 7-iron. Bill was hitting an M5, and they were going about the same distance.
Good one, Jim.
Hey, I tell you what, though, well done, because you... And now, we need to know who you're taking.
Yes.
We saw your beautiful wife, Loz, and brand-new baby. So what a beautiful, romantic thing it'd be to take them to Jack's Point with you, Rob.
Couldn't have put it better myself, mate. Yeah, so I don't know how much I had a say in that, but that's what we are doing.
Oh, hey, this morning you were all full of it, and you said you're going to take a mate.
Yeah, and then once the recording went off, I think it sort of changed a bit.
That's good. That's good. She's a beautiful lady, and you've had a beautiful little bub, so it'll be nice for you to go and enjoy one of the beautiful parts of the world.
Yeah, it certainly will, and huge thanks to TaylorMade for this and also to Triple M. That's awesome. You know, just such a great experience. Yeah. I couldn't even get fitted for my driver afterwards because I had nothing left in the tank.
Oh, plus, you met us. You met the boy.
You got to meet us.
The
Robin,
talent.
You don't get A-grade talent.
Sorry. Yeah, just derailed. Lost all focus.
You don't meet A-listers too often, Rob, so that would have been good for you. And I know Loz when she...
Where were they?
Hey, Rob, now, he's a very good man, Jim. One day he played 100 holes of golf in a day to raise money for cancer.
That's it.
The cancer research.
Quality.
Where'd you do that, mate?
At Peninsula Kingswood, where I'm a member. So teed off at about 4:45 in the morning and finished about 6:30 at night.
And it was 100 holes, yeah?
Oh, we stuffed up. Actually played 101.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. 30 to last, though. So he's listening, Scott McMahon. You never paid the extra 100 bucks for that 30.
And I was a bit uncomfortable with Loz staring at me for the whole day, Rob. But I think in the end, she enjoyed her day.
She's staring at your eye.
Exactly.
Yeah, old pink eye.
Hey, mate, well done and enjoy Queenstown. It will be absolutely superb.
Yeah, thanks, boys. Really appreciate it. Once again, thanks to TaylorMade for putting this on and Triple M.
The good people out there, Az and Benji, they're great people at TaylorMade. And the best golf equipment you can stumble across. All right, Bill, nicely done. Your massive ball, and it was huge and achieved exactly what we wanted. A happy winner.
Well done, Jim, for naming that too. I wanted something that would sound good or make me sound sophisticated. And you said, you're dumb, Bill, so let's go with Bill's massive ball. And we went with it.
And?
It was okay. And all the other boys, Glenn and Dave and Matt and Tyson, all get a TaylorMade M5 or M6.
And they've already been fitted for it, so they'll love that.
And a year's supply of balls.
Very, very good. All right, joke?
Oh, don't tell me I've got to do that, Jim. I've had a big day.
Swans veteran Heath Grundy has called time on his decorated career after 256 AFL games. The 32-year-old told his teammates on Wednesday he's hanging the boots up.
Yep.
And he has been a terrific player. John Longmire paid tribute to Grundy's extraordinary career in terms of leadership. He set an example for us all with his meticulous preparation, dedication and passion for his craft. Every week he'd line up on the opposition's most damaging and big forward, and he just got the job done.
He did indeed. A back injury, Jim. Hasn't played this year, of course. And he holds the record for the most games played by a Swans rookie. So rookie-listed player. He's a premiership player. He's a life member.
Seventh most capped Swan of all time. And everyone you speak to reckons he's a beauty. So well done to you, Heath Grundy. And I'm sure there's lots of good stuff coming to him in retirement. Beautiful wife and kids.
Yeah.
He'll get to spend more time with their husband stroke dad.
Exactly
so,
right.
Well so. Done. We're all expecting quite a bit of this to happen as we get ready for the mid-season draft.
That's right, Jim.
Teams making a bit of room. We've already seen it happen at
Richmond.
Richmond, that's right, with Grigger, who we saw yesterday. And so I reckon there'll be a few more.
Not every team has got a mid-season pick, by the way.
They traded them up.
Yeah, well, they don't have to have one, do they?
No.
No, they don't have to have one, Jim. So, and it's got to be someone from outside the AFL system. Mm-hmm. I think Nath Brown on Sunday went with Zach Smith. It could be a ruckman.
Which you sold him up the river with.
No.
You did. Jim. You showed him to him on a bit of paper, so he went with it. Didn't you?
Yep. Tom Langdon, also a reporter from Triple M Footy, he might need knee surgery. He's hurt his knee last week, didn't come back on after halftime. Very good casual player. He's very relaxed and casual.
I love him. Intercept marker, very good.
Great, yeah.
Melbourne Grammar
Boy. Follow that one too.
All right, Fat, so there's the latest news for you, but a joke next.
Yes.
Tell you tomorrow what we're doing before we get to the joke. Jay-Z Clark in here. The Vixens, Joe Weston and Kate Maloney.
Oh, Joe. She's
fantastic. Our girl.
Different.
And Bill, we're also going to speak to Phil Tufnell.
Who? The little offie.
Oh, Bill.
The left-hander.
Unbelievably good Tuffers.
The cat.
Could not bat.
Because you know why he's called the cat?
Why?
Sleeps all night. Sleeps all day. But Bill, wonderful commentator, a part of the Triple M family, of course, and we want to speak to him.
What about?
Jim? About what's going to happen to Davey Warner and Steve Smith once this World Cup starts.
And the Barmy Army.
That's exactly it.
Because so Ian Botham.
Both of them, even.
We like, well.
No, he doesn't like
educated.
Botham. It's both of them.
Both of them.
Yes.
Said that the Barmy Army have got 8 or 9 songs already to go for the Aussies.
So that's tomorrow, but a joke now.
In the day with a laugh, this is Billy's joke.
All jokes aside, if you're digging for a living, you won't dig up a better Kubota construction dealer than supergroups.com.au.
The Kubota.
Jim. supergroups.com.au. You go there.
Right. And get your Kubota.
They're the overall.
Right.
And then Kubota are one little segment. Don't bring them up all the time. Okay. Supergroups.com.au.
Joke.
What do New Zealanders call sheep in the backyard, Jim?
No. What?
Ride on mowers.
Oh, my God. Speaking of Kubota.
Ride on, yes.
Oh, no.
Ride on motor. Yeah, you know?
Ride on mowers.
Mowers, that's it, Jim.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Get it right.
Just hit it.
Well, you don't get it.
I get it, but it's just...
Yeah.
How many times you want to draw from the same well?
Have you got a joke yourself, have you?
New.
Not bad. Not bad from Ramsey.
What are you doing in here so
short notice?
Hey, all the best to Jilly too, who's
girl.
In bed. She's sick.
Yeah,
how
all
sick is she?
She'll be sicker now after hearing that.
Right on lawnmowers. They get them on and ride them, Jim. Yep. You are the king of the divan. Qu'elle me dit en passant.
I am the king of the divan. That was Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
We are cooked.
I actually been good.
Have you?
Yeah.
And you'll never miss a moment if you download the Triple M app.